Welcome. Thank you for joining me for another season of FYI, I Am Damaged. My name is Oscar Luna. I am here with businesswoman and healthcare activist and advocate against sexual abuse and founder of the Yo Digo No Más movement. Thank you for joining me, Maria Trusa.
Oscar, thank you so much for having me. What an honor to be here. On the other side, because I had the privilege of interviewing you on my talk show, Yo Digo No Más, and for me, when you asked me to be on your podcast, I felt, you know what? We need to pay it forward. We need to support each other. And it is a privilege to support you with your podcast.
Thank you. It's been a year in the making, more than that, because as we've discussed before, I saw you on a remote celebration for the Yonkers Public School. As I told you many times before, my wife has said, you have to have her on the podcast. It's been, I wanted to do it right. I think after all we've been through with the interview, the march, everything else, I think let's do it as soon as possible. Being that starting late with my second season, I figure let's just get it done. You know, it's the perfect time. Thank you for providing me with your time. I know it's precious. I know you're a busy person, and thank yous all around for you and your team.
Thank you. I mean, impacting the world is something that we are destined to do. I know that is your destiny as well, because otherwise you would not be doing this work. It is definitely my goal. I say it all the time. I want to impact millions of people before I close my eyes for the last time. So I'm doing this with you. It is a privilege.
Awesome. So let's get to it. Now, after reading your book, which is filled to the brim of life experiences, consisting of pain in almost all its forms, lessons learned, and the overwhelming helpful presence that I've seen when I'm in your orbit. To sum that up, you have a desire to help, and it can be infectious.
Then I am accomplishing my goal because I want to infect in a good way. I want to be contagious, right? Contagious, there is, it made me think of Pitbull. He has it. He actually has a song, and he says, like a virus. I want to be contagious like a virus. Mm-hmm. But it's a good virus. It's the virus of peace. Because after going through what I've gone through in my life and being able to put everything into this book and giving my good, bad, and ugly and sharing that with the world, mm-hmm. I've had peace. But the peace that I feel now, even after I know that I said things that my friends will be always like, I can't believe you put that in your book.
Right.
And I said, what you don't understand is the peace that brought me. And what you feel, because I've been told that so many times,
right.
there is an energy. What you feel is the energy of peace, mm-hmm. acceptance, and non-judgmental.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad that you noticed that and that you felt it.
All the time around you. It's amazing, especially when we did the second annual march, and we'll get into that. But it's amazing to be around you, to be around your team, to be around people who just want to do good.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing feeling, because when you're around that, you know you're not saying you're not a good person, but if that kickstarts you wanting to help and do, then it's just an amazing feeling. Yeah. And bringing that out of somebody, and they don't walk away and just say, hey, that's good for them, then you know that hopefully you guys are in the same vein of spirit to do what you can for more than just yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Oscar.
Now, of course, your life being the catalyst to your book and the Yo Digo No Más movement, of course, with many things in between, and I'm sure with your future endeavors lined up, taking stock in your life and journey thus far, what has that conversation in your mind been like?
To get to this journey, mm-hmm. the conversations that I've had, wow. You know, that is a great question. And I have to say that I've been interviewed so many times that I'm always excited when somebody asks me a question that mm-hmm. is as deep as that one, because the conversations that we have in our minds It's really what destroys you or breaks you.
Right.
And that's the thing that I say, I've learned, I had to learn how to be my number one.
Mm-hmm.
The conversations in the journey of my life were pretty ugly and dark.
Right.
And I mentioned many of them in my book because we think, we speak, and we create. So when you are in the state, many, many stages that I went through, I was speaking what I was thinking and creating that anxiety, that negative, that destructive conversations where my, because we all have good and bad.
Right.
And I'm sorry, everybody that's listening to this, if you think you don't have any bad, we all have abilities that are bad and they're good.
Right.
The idea is, how do you elevate the goodness to the level that the darkness and the bad is minimal? Like you have control of your bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about it in my book about the moments that were bad moments, I started developing a curiosity. A curiosity of what my mind was thinking.
Right.
And it started with when I had my son, Franco, and we can talk about that later, but there was an episode that sort of developed my first curiosity. Like, how can somebody as good as me be capable of doing what I did with my baby when he was a few months old?
Right.
In the conversation, that goes back to the conversation. We have these negative thoughts that are, it's usually what you wake up with.
Right.
So the evolution of my thoughts is something that I really wanted to portray in my book. And I think I did a good job because I took everyone from the 8-year-old
right.
Jackie, that was what they used to call me, to Maria Trusa, the 55-year-old woman that ran the New York City Marathon.
Right.
And the most important thing that I've done throughout this journey is changing the conversations in right. my mind.
That's beautiful, because then it comes across amazingly in the book. And it's one thing where I got into it. I said, you know what? I took every waking moment that I could have to make sure I finished the book. Not just because I'm interviewing you, not just because we've done things together. It's just I had an interest in understanding who you are. We've gone through, you know, our traumas. I wanted to see with what I wanted to get across with my podcast is I've been able to not take the easy way out, just go through life and help deal with what I've been through and then give that out to people, all the positives. Because if not, I would not be where I'm at today with my 3 kids and my family and my beautiful wife. It's a lot because life is not easy.
No.
You've shown that you have to keep persevering.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how you've done that.
Thank you.
The more recognized that you get from all the people around you, it just shows how much of a bright person that you are.
Thank you.
Regardless of all the past traumas that you've been through.
I love that you said, you know, it's a contagious energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are energy, ultimately. That's how I feel. And if my energy could be contagious, wow. I want to infect millions of people with this peace virus that I have been able to build. Because it's been a process of getting right. to that peace, that yeah. inner peace, that no matter what is happening in your life, that inner peace does not get disturbed. Mm-hmm. It protects you. It helps you understand that life is going to bring you those moments of mm-hmm. pain, and you cannot avoid it. It's going to happen to all of us. If you haven't experienced it, but I would say most people that are listening to this podcast, they have been experiencing through their lifetime pain, joy, and happiness and peace. But the idea is, how can you take more happiness and more peace and be able to deal with the pain that is inedible. You're going to experience it.
Solely focusing on the book for now, you've overcome so much. When did you realize you had a gift for identifying your life lessons prior to distilling them to help others?
I would say that when I was in my 20s, I was just trying to figure things out. Very insecure, like most 20 years old. But I was, I think, at another level, because when you come from trauma the way that we have,
right,
I always say that it's like life has been made 10 times more difficult.
Right.
Your struggles, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to have more struggles because you've been programmed in a trauma environment. Mm-hmm. So you carry that with you. I started finding myself when I became a medical assistant at Scarsdale Medical Group.
Yeah.
And I found someone that was a catalyst. Because that's the other thing, you know, we have accelerators, I say, and catalysts in our lives, that sometimes when you're able to really appreciate them, you're able to grow so much more. And I started with, you know, Gabriel, who I talk about it in my book. He said to me how smart I was. And I was 24 years old. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this doctor. Because the other thing that we do is we idolize people that have a title or that are our bosses, you know, right, that we think they're so much better than us. So I thought he was God, you know, because here I am, this little girl, 24 years old, with a programming that is so messed up. And this man who's a doctor is telling me how smart I am.
Right.
And he was my first catalyst. So then I started valuing myself a little bit more after I practiced and heard from so many other people that, wow, you know, you're smart. And I was hungry. I was in such a desire of growth because I had my children.
Right.
So when I left Scarsdale moving, you know, forward, I really didn't even realize, Oscar, that for me, there was a mission of doing what I'm doing. I had no clue. It really developed, and the mission came to me. I didn't go looking for the mission. It just arrived.
Right.
And because I have my medical center where I serve the underserved community. But this was for me in a quiet way. I want to impact thousands of people.
Right.
So it wasn't about getting people to know my story. I never talked about my story. My story became the story when my son, Jeffrey, I was skiing in Colorado with my kids, and we were waiting. I never forget, because we were waiting for my son, Franco, and his plane got delayed. And Jeffrey and I, at 2 o'clock in the morning, are having a glass of wine, and we're talking, and Jeffrey says, it calls me madre, madre. You need to tell your story. You cannot live this world. You cannot leave without telling your story.
Right.
And it all evolved from that conversation. I didn't even look for it. Mm. It came to me with somebody a week later telling me, you need to write a book. I was amongst women that there was like 12 of us, powerful women, and we started telling their story. That woman says, you need to write the book. Then a week after that, I get a call from a producer that is doing a documentary, and they wanted me to be in the documentary.
Yes.
Oscar, that just opened up this mission of breaking the silence. Mm. I had no clue that I've been giving the mission of helping people. Oh, it brings me, ironically, it brings me to tears, because I didn't go looking for the mission. The mission came to me.
I do believe in the muse, and the same thing happened to me. And it appears.
Yeah.
It appears. And when it appears and you know it feels right, you know it doesn't dissipate, you know it has traction. And I know that feeling. I know that feeling. And it's you're just a dog with a bone that you cannot let go, because it just feels too right.
Yeah.
So trust, I know that feeling.
Then you could definitely relate to this.
Absolutely. You and your team are heavily on the power of networking. Did it ever dawn on you that the way your life unfolded, you were blessed by God with this skill so many lack or miss the mark on?
I can tell you that I said, God has given me this mission. I just accepted it. Mm-hmm. Because it came clear to me one day, about 2 years ago, I was doing a video for Hispanic Heritage Month that is coming up. The video, I was supposed to talk with pride about the Hispanic culture.
Right.
But I am talking, I'm doing a video for Yo Digo Nomás, the movement. And it's going to deal with the fact that, unfortunately, you know, we are on the top of the list for sexual abuse of children. And in the United States, we're number two.
Unfortunately.
So when I was doing, trying to do the video, I'm like, oh my God, like, why? Like, why do I need to take this on? First of all, like, I already have a mission of, you know, serving the underserved community in with my medical center. Mm-hmm. This is big. This mission is so big, and there's so much to do.
Yeah.
And but that after I did the video, I was like, wow, okay. I started to cry. I said, I'm yours. Okay. I've accepted the mission. It was on that moment that I was like, okay, you chosen me. For whatever reason, and I am going to just embrace it. And that the networking, like you were saying, the door started to open without really. I just started to do daily deposits, I call them.
Right.
Like you're in a consistent way, you work towards the mission, and then the door started to open up at a bigger, you know, faster level, because God is leading this in my eyes, you know, he's leading me. Mm-hmm. So the fear, then you're removing the fear and you're removing the judgment.
Right.
So it's the networking piece, you know, at first, like my team, man, I mean, that God is leading it and you believe it.
Yeah.
Then he sends you the right people to be on the bus with you.
Exactly.
And I definitely have the right people on the bus.
You do. You do. I've met your team. Big, big shout to Alejandra, which I'm going to have her on the podcast because she's an amazing person.
Amazing human being.
How she works, I want to delve into that.
Yeah.
I know she's listening to this and we're going to do it. So again, shout out to your team. When I've met them for my interview for your show, nothing but professionalism.
Yeah. And you know what it is, Oscar, too, that you're feeling is the fact that this team is in this mission. They were chosen to be in this mission, mm-hmm. and they accepted the choice.
Right.
They've decided that they're giving it all. Because even when I didn't have much money to give to the movement, mm-hmm. they were there. So money was not the driving force. To them, it was, how do we impact together? How do we bring everybody's strength and support Maria with her voice,
right,
and empower this movement that needs to be moving at a faster pace?
Have any of them expressed to branch out and do their thing because they've been inspired by you and how you've done such amazing work with your movement and your story and your shows, everything that you're involved in, your book? Have they expressed, are they at a point where a leader births leaders?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think we talk about this because I look at Alejandra, you know, before we started working together, Alejandra's business has grown. Mm. And I am so happy and proud of her. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, you know, from Primitive Agency, like, it's incredible. So when your heart is in the right place, mm-hmm. then money follows, right? Then success follows. And that's what is happening with the team. Everyone has grown. And even the people, there's a few people that have gone and to do other things. Mm-hmm. They're doing other things and they're doing it better because of the experience. This is, I also, you know, my team will tell you, like being with me in itself, it's something that I give myself to my team.
Right.
So my lessons, my passion, my everything I can, I will give to the team. So there is so much growth that they've gone through just being with me, because I'm someone that is growing every day. I don't feel like I know it all. I don't feel that I've arrived.
Right.
Oh no, I'm evolving every day, and I love the evolution that I'm going through, and I see myself grow with my team, not just me. My team is growing with me. It's beautiful.
That's amazing. I think that's a new slogan for you: growth through giving, because yeah. that's how you do it.
That's it. It's beautiful.
Looking back to all of these defining moments in your book, while going through them, is there one that your wiser self can say at that moment, it was happening, I will never get through this? But of course you did. And reflecting back on your strengths, are you amazed at the outcome?
Yes. So when I was with Vicente, I was married to this man since I was 17 for 10 years.
Right.
And I decided that I was done with the abuse.
Right.
And I decided without money that I was going to bring my kids. I went and got myself an apartment in White Plains. I used to live in Yonkers, Yonkers, New York. We had a house together. So I was taking my kids out of a house, and I said, I am not going to put my kids into a worse environment that I knew. And I took a year to leave the house. And I knew that I was going to leave. And I said, if I went through 10 years of pain, or 9 years then, I could wait another year and prepare myself. But the fear of going and renting an apartment that was a nice apartment, paying money, and I wasn't making the money that, you know, I'm making now, obviously. Right. This is, and not only that, but I went and I took credit cards and I went and bought furniture. I remember back then it was like, I think $10,000, something to that effect. Oh, and it was a lot of money. And I said, oh my God, I'm leaving my ex. You know, I don't have another income. This is just me and my kids. I have Gloria that I need to find a way to bring with me, because Gloria, without Gloria, it would have been extremely difficult to do what I did. Mm-hmm. So I ended up, you know, taking that leap of faith, but I didn't know. Like, I was like, holy, you know, am I going to be able to make this happen? And am I going to be able to pay this loan? And all these questions that come to you that develop your mountain of fear, mm-hmm. I started crushing it little by little.
Right.
And then I ended up, as you know from my book, you know, I got into this beautiful apartment, started to evolve in my business. And I look back and I thought I was going to do it. I thought, and obviously that fear stops you. And it took me a year to leave because of that fear. But then, you know, the story ends.
And I must say, everybody needs a Gloria in their life. My wife and I are looking for our Gloria.
God is great. He sent me my Gloria.
As a survivor of sexual abuse and the weight it has on a person, and those in all stages of its aftermath, whether freshly dealing with it, reconciling the past events that they may be suppressing in certain ways, to those thinking time can heal a wound without any form of outside help, what are your words to those listening to put them, hopefully, on a healing path?
So, you know, it's a very interesting question, because if you think about the world, there's many people that would have access to mental health assistant, a psychologist, a social worker. Mm. If you have access to that, boy, get it. You would accelerate the process of healing. I went through 6 years of an incredible woman that was my therapist, and I know that woman accelerated my healing process. Right. But there's, unfortunately, which is something that I hope that I will change. I definitely hope I can change the fact that so many people don't have access to mental health.
Right.
Through Yo Digo Nomás, eventually, one of my goals is to have healing centers.
Right.
And these healing centers will give access to people that don't have the means of getting the help.
Right.
Because the help, definitely, there's so many different ways that you can get, so many different therapies. I've learned so much, even as last year I dealt, you know, with my own family member that was struggling tremendously with mental health. Mm-hmm. I even brought my knowledge of mental health to another level. And I didn't know, like, there is a therapy that I've actually been trained on, not as a therapist, but as a parent.
Right.
I have dealt with a therapy that's called dialectical behavioral therapy, DBT.
Okay.
This therapy is incredible. It is based on mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And the tools that they give you are tools that can help people with major anxiety, major depression. There is so many different type of therapy that people don't know. I even learned, I took, like, if I was a psychologist, I took a weekend virtual workshop on intellectual interviews.
Right.
These interviews have helped me deal with my own situation. So there is so much out there that we don't even know. I know that there's more therapy that I don't know. This,
right.
When you go to places where there's little access to mental health services, right, then I have to tell you that there is hope for you. Please don't feel that there is no hope. I do have to say that the process, you'll have to be more committed, because you won't have that support from a therapist, but a support could be a family member, somebody like, for me, Gloria played a major role. Mm-hmm. You know, she became somebody that I could just share my deepest thoughts,
right,
and somebody that helped me by my side in the healing process. But there is internet out there, guys. You could use internet to, you know, in a negative way, or you can use it in a positive way. There are podcasts like this one. There are so many books that are actually free.
Right.
If you go to my podcast, I mean, my website, mariatrusset.org, you'll find all the books that I have been listening to. I listen to Audible books because most people, let's face it, even there's people, if the less you have, the more you have to work. A lot of times,
absolutely,
you know, people are working so many jobs. Mm-hmm. But let's say that you're a cleaning lady. You have 2 to 3 hours that you can put your headphones and you can feed your soul with healing powers, or you can listen to music.
Right.
So you make that choice. So if you will decide that you're going to develop those daily deposits, that no matter what you have access to, you have access to the internet. So let's look, let's listen. I educate myself every day. I have this guy that I follow, Dr. Andrew Huberman, who's a scientist.
Yes.
And I have learned so much about other things, like taking cold showers, 2-minute showers. I do every day now because I learned the benefits of that. So benefits of fasting, benefit of sleeping, like, there is so much out
right
there that you have access to, mm-hmm, that even without therapy,
right,
which I would highly recommend it because it accelerates the process for most people. But you also have to find the right therapist for you.
Exactly.
Because every therapy is not does not work the same for every individual. So long answer to your question is, I think if you can get the help, boy, please do.
And I'd listen to Huberman as well. And I love his breathing techniques too.
He's incredible.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
What would you say to a person who believes in those fictitious, so to speak, lock on the door of the stigma of seeking therapy that kind of gives them a pause?
Yeah. What it, social norms we have created is incredible because it all stems from social norms, right? Mm-hmm. We, especially in our Latino community, we think that you're crazy if you see a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And the way that I explain psychologist to everyone, because boy, as a matter of fact, I'm seeing a psychologist right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it because I went back to seeing a therapist because the work that I'm doing, I have so much trauma that I'm dealing with. I am dealing with people's pain. And if I didn't figure out different ways of protecting my soul, then my mission could be destroyed. Because if I get sick and something happens to me, then my voice would get weaker, not stronger. Right. So I decided to go back to therapy. So my goal is that when it comes to the perception, the misperception that you do not, you know, therapist is only for crazy people, is that the way that I describe therapist is you need someone with an objective opinion that doesn't know you, that can help you with their reprogramming. They're expert at helping you reprogram some of the stories that you have created that are stories in your mind, but they're really not.
Yeah.
The stories that you're living now. And they can help you in a faster way to accelerate that process of looking at your story as a story, dealing with it, but not allowing your story of the past, of your trauma, to be the choice of your daily life, where you're bringing it on every day. So we all, if it was in my world, everyone would have a psychologist, somebody that you're going through life.
Right.
Listen, like before you have kids, like think about it. Before you have kids, the mother and the father should start looking at the programming that they're bringing to those children. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is that you do not understand the programming, because 95% of your programming exists in your subconscious.
Right.
And this is not me, you know, that did the scientist, you know, approach. It's if you listen to Joseph Murphy on his book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind, he talks about how 95% of the decision you're making is from the data bank that was given to you, that programming that was given to you. Only 5% is actually conscious.
Right.
That's freaking scary.
Yeah, it is.
So if you think you shouldn't have a psychologist that can help you see the 95%, the crazy perception of the social norm that we have created, that psychologists is for crazy people, there is a very good explanation to destroy that.
Right. Do you have an opinion on those, or whether you have experience or not, or through others who have gone through that treatment, alternative treatments, ketamine or mushrooms, psilocybins, those type of alternative ways to help rewire the brain to help a person cope better with either a trauma, PTSD, things of that nature. Have you known people? Have you had your own experiences? And it's very controversial. So, okay, if it's something that you may or may not want to answer.
No, I do want to answer because you see, I love the fact that you're bringing all of these topics. Like, this is a topic that people don't want to talk about it. Why not? Let's talk about it.
Right.
Let's be curious. Take the judgment and let's be curious. Mm. So the idea is, if different therapy work for different people, what else is out there that in a controlled environment can help people? Why not look into it? I absolutely know people that are doing the ketamine treatment and have been helped tremendously from depression. I also am very good friends with the longevity doctor, Dr. Bacellari, who I adore. He's my longevity doctor. And we get into very philosophical conversations, which I love. And he says, this is the future. Like the mushroom therapy,
right.
It is something that when you do it in an environment that is controlled, it has been proven to help people with PTSD. People that have been suffering for their entire life after traumatic experiences, why not?
Right.
Why not? It's crazy not to be curious and experiment with this if it's being done, again, in a control environment.
So for those that would, let's say, microdose and not go through a controlled sort of structure, and they purchase online, be they reputable or not, there are some avenues, and I don't want to blow them up because I don't want the negative attention to go towards that way, but there are products that you can get that you can microdose to help you manage through a daily, through your daily business. Is that something you feel that's wise?
Look, you should know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. Do as much of your homework as, because people that, if when, what I think people don't understand is when you are, you come from such a trauma that you're living a life where it is hard to wake up. You're living a life where your anxiety is at such a high level that you have a hard time breathing.
Yeah.
And I lived it. I know what it's like. It was 15 years of my life where I would take deep breath because I didn't think I could breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try what I can. Be wise about it. Definitely do your homework.
Absolutely.
But if you want to try something in a very, it could be with a control environment that is your family.
Right.
Right? It's just try to be very, very careful. But I think people don't understand, and the people that judge you is the people that don't understand the level of darkness and pain that you have inside. And if you can find something like mushrooms to be able to ease that pain, where you do it in a wise way and with a lot of curiosity and support, you know what, be in that place so that you can make the judgment, you know, when that's why I try in my life, especially as I'm getting older, like I don't want to judge anyone.
Right.
We are in this world. We are all one life. You have your life to live. We are collectively living life together, but your life, I don't know your life. I don't know your depth of pain.
Right.
I don't know what's going on in your mind. It's so individualized. So why would I judge you?
Right.
Why would I judge you?
That's very a wise outlook that people don't get. And if they would have gotten it off the bat to know that if I was a jar and you looked inside of me and you saw what was there, your judgment would have been erased.
Yeah.
Towards the decisions that a person would make that just don't vibe with the person seeing from the outside.
I wish we could live in a world where we could practice that so much more. I've become so curious in my life, and that is something that I want to continue to evolving even into a more curious soul. When people are with me, and I find my brain, because your brain is automatically programmed to judge. When I am finding my brain judging, I actually say, I need to be curious. Why is this person feeling this?
Right.
And I have conversations where I would say, you know, why can I ask you, like, why do you feel that? Or why do you think this is happening? Mm-hmm. It's like, why? But it's a why with curiosity, not with judgment.
That's great. That's an outlook that everyone should have, especially yeah. when that curiosity comes up. But it reminds me of one of that stories where a mythology where something good would happen if they would just ask the king, why are you feeling the way you are?
Yeah.
But nothing good happens because the knight doesn't ask a question. I wish I knew that story, but it never left.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always ask that question.
Yeah. Why?
Exactly.
Why? Yeah, it's beautiful.
For young people listening, considering the story you tell of your parents and how, as a society, we've grown to speak up more, how would you advise younger individuals to brave a painful event to seek the support of the most important people in their lives? It's a two-part question, mm-hmm. but focusing on that.
So your parents, unfortunately, I do have to say, sometimes their programming is not programmed to be able to listen to your pain, right? Because they have their own pain, their own social norms, their own perception of life. Mm-hmm. And so the most important thing is, first of all, if you have parents, if you're lucky enough that you have parents that are opening the floor for you, that are opening their heart and you feel comfortable, God, talk to your parents. They're like, that is the connection most intimate. Like my children, I have to tell you, I was actually talking to my son about this. My kids will tell me things that I didn't even want to hear. I'm like, oh my God, no, I did not just hear that. No, because I open my heart for them and they did not feel judged. Mm. That's important.
Yeah.
They did not feel judged. But let's say that you have parents that have the programming where they're more judgmental, mm-hmm. that they have tougher stance on their social norms and there's no deviation. Mm-hmm. My advice to this generation is like, embrace them, validate them, understand that they have their own programming in that 95% of the decisions and the actions they take,
right.
It's from their programming, from their own social program that their parents gave them. And sometimes they might not be emotionally available to give you the support.
Okay.
But I want you to also validate them. Validate them in a way where you understand that I understand the way that they think. I understand their programming. It doesn't mean that you are agreeing, but there's an understanding that it's okay. And I had to do that with my mom, especially,
yeah.
because my mom, my God, I was like, I don't understand my mom. Like, how could you leave me? How could you? I had all the stories of my mother.
Right.
But then when I got to the point where I embraced her and I validated my mom's story in her own trauma, in her own upbringing, and I realized that the stories that I have built are my own story. And going back to what we were saying, mm-hmm. if I was able to look at my mom as a clear yard, you know, I would have seen what was inside of her.
Right.
And what was inside of her was tremendous pain.
Yeah.
Tremendous pain. And that evolved into me understanding her. And guess what? You can transform your parents into people that could listen to you. Because that's what happened with my mom. Mm-hmm. Then I would come to my mom when I felt that I needed the support.
Right.
Or if I was struggling with Carlos, you know, or because that's where my mom and I had more of an evolved relationship. I could come to my mom for support. Who best than your parents when they're able to receive you with an open, non-judgmental heart?
Right. With the anniversary of her passing, which was in May, May.
Yeah.
Do you, knowing what you put out in the world and the stories you've told and putting yourself out literally and figuratively as an open book, every time that comes along, do you self-reflect or celebrate? Or what do you do? Do you go back to thinking of her as what she went through and then you as that younger person? And does that thinking back evolve? And do you find anything new when you, if you do that reflection?
I do. You know, so I'm a reflection woman. Mm-hmm. I've evolved into this soul that just wants to reflect. So I reflect every day. And I've turned it into, you know, a little podcast that I was talking to you about where they're just my reflection. I always think of my mom. And the irony thing is that what you just ask, there are stories that to this day, mm-hmm. I look back and as I get older, I actually realize, oh my God, I sound like her. I'm laughing like her. I'm looking like my mom. And the beauty of sort of evolving into that in reflecting is that they become even more of an idol. Like my love for my mom, even though she's gone, mm-hmm. continues to evolve.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's amazing.
Like she's not with me, but my love for her continues to evolve. And I find different connections because I'm so present to the beauty of my mom. Mm-hmm. I dealt with the disconnection. I dealt with the pain. I no longer have to deal with that. So I don't look back and go and be the victim. No, I stop being a victim. Oh my God, it's so unbelievable when you can stop and be a victim.
Liberating, yeah.
Oof, it's like, okay, the past is past. You have to recognize it. There's pain. There is times when I tell my story, I cry and I still feel that pain, but that pain is not driving me.
Right.
That pain is just an acknowledgement of the story, but I'm no longer a victim of my father, a victim of my mom, a victim of, you know, what's his name? I'm thinking of the book name because I was going to say his name, but any of the men, you know, okay.
Vincent,
thank you. I'm no longer a victim of Vincent, Gabriel, and, you know, Carlos, it's right. Like they were stories. They're part of a chapter in my book of life. Mm-hmm. And if I think about it, that book has what is life, pain, and joy. I have pain. Some of the chapters were a lot of pain,
right.
But I also had joy. So if I can close it and learn from that chapter, then I'm not giving my energy to those chapters in my book that no longer exist. I am focused on today's chapter or the chapters that I'm excited to be writing.
Right.
But I don't give my power to the chapters from before.
And people need to understand that reflecting doesn't make the person who they are. It is not reflecting about what happened, whether what it might be, is not an established persona of the person who's gone through, for example, what you've gone through. You've went through your, I would say, trial of three. So they say everything happens in threes.
Yeah.
And you've gone through that in your relationships. And it's something that people have to read the book and understand that what you've been through, it's something that they maybe can mirror. And then find those strengths to say, you know what? I'm kind of in the same position, but going it through my way, these are the lessons I need to take in and see what works for me.
Yeah.
And be a better person to my children, be a better person to the parents who they may have gone through some things with, and learn those lessons and come out a better person.
Yeah.
And with the other side of that, since I sought your advice for younger people to their parents, the parents to their children. And for the parents listening, what are the key strengths of support they can give their children?
Oh, I love talking about this. This is one of my favorite topics. And I say that because, you see, my next book is going to be an interview with my kids. And I want my kids to share my healing journey and how they heal with me and the healing that they had to do, and now how so much better life is for them.
Interesting.
And that's going to be my next book. They already agreed that they will do it, and authentically,
right?
So when I would say my daughter Natasha has been the biggest teacher for me, because I'm older and I'm also more curious, and I also have learned to remove judgment, and I'm all about connection. When I had my boys, it was a learning process, and I feel very blessed because I got to a point where my boys as teenagers, they shared with me. They always shared with me. I was blown away. Like all they're growing, like really most of that, most kids will not share with their parents. My boys will share with me.
Right.
And it was because, again, validate your children's feelings. Understand that your children, they have a voice. Do not take away their voice like your voice was taken by your own parents.
Right.
Because the lifestyle used to be the way that I know I was raised, you know, anybody in their 50s, most parents will tell you, you listen, you be quiet, cállate, and that's it, cállate la boca.
Yeah.
I talk, adults talk, and you listen. That mentality doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No,
it disconnects.
Right.
So you have to decide, do you want to connect with your children, or do you want to be right in front of your children? Because being right doesn't mean that you're going to have a connection with them.
Yeah, being right for all the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Ultimately, you have to ask yourself, what is it that I want? I want to be connected with my children. I want to respect my children. The same respect I give my children, I get back.
Right.
Validation of your children's feelings and wants, it doesn't mean that you allow them to be anything they want to do. Look, we're dealing, let's face it, gender identity crisis, right? There is every child is watching this on the internet, but this is what it is, right? This is what they're living in this world.
Right.
And I believe that human beings should be what they want to be. Because ultimately, like Natasha, her life is her life. It's with me. It's in my responsibility for, she's 15. So in 3 more years, she goes to college.
Right.
And that's it. Like the structure I'm giving her, I pray that she's going to continue with that structure in that foundation that I gave in her. But ultimately, it's my daughter's life. It is not my life. I will not be here. So the question for parents should be, how do I learn to support my children so that they can come to me in a place where they feel not judged and they feel validated? That doesn't mean we have this erroneous perception that if you validate and you don't tell them what to do, that you're not being a parent, that because that's the way that I was raised and I turned out to be okay. Well, do a self-check. Like, are you really connected to your parents? Did you have the relationship with your parents that you really wished you had?
Right.
Or did you have a superficial relationship with your parents? So if that didn't work for you and you want to create a connection with your children, validation and creating a place where they feel safe, that they don't feel judged. And Oscar, this is hard to do.
Absolutely.
It takes practice.
It does. It does. And the effort needs to be there. The mindfulness.
Yeah.
Having and being part of a great supportive structure is a key point you get across in your book. How has that elevated your life after the book release?
Wow. You know, I think my book has been an accelerator, right? Because more people have gotten to know who I am. They've gotten to know my story.
Right.
And that led into creating a movement, because the movement of Yo Digo Nomás came after the book.
Yes.
And when I started talking about my story openly, and that obviously the book opened the door for me to be able to do this, the support that I've been getting from the media, from my team, from my employees, from my family, from, it's like people that I never met before. My goodness. It's like when you're doing the right thing, the right support comes your way.
Exactly.
When you are present to that purpose, to your mission, the support gets elevated. We just have to be able to be present to feel it, see it, and appreciate it.
Exactly. That's, it comes across so organically. Seeing you on a computer screen while my kids were remote for the Yonkers public school, again, my wife felt it.
Yeah.
And she in turn said, she needs to be the first guest.
And look, we're here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you've been in my show. Yeah. And you've been on the walk.
Yeah.
You see how the support is just, it's like a wave, you know? And when you're in rhythm together.
Just feels natural.
Yeah. It's just natural.
From your life to the book to the Yo Digo Nomás movement, in such a relative short time since 2020, what are the milestones you're proud of?
You know, I took this time of the pandemic that could that destroyed many people and put people in depression. And it was a time of reflection where I decided to take that time to impact. I showed up for our community with my medical center. My business partner and I did what people could not even imagine. You know, having a medical center where we have thousands of people that don't have insurance and nobody really wanted to test them. Mm-hmm. I was heartbroken because I'm seeing my patients die and they don't believe they have COVID and they're just, I don't have a place to send them. White Plains Hospital, which is 5 minutes from me, called me and said, do not send your patients because we're only taking the patients of White Plains Physicians Group.
Really?
I am trying to send them to Westchester Medical Center, which is about 15 minutes, but they needed to drive and have an ID. Mm. And ironically, like everything else, you know, I was like concentrating on the solution. Mm. I, with my business partner, ended up putting a tent outside our building. The building was closed. Nobody was there except us. And the landlord said, put the tent. The city of White Plains said, we don't care. This is apartment. This email is apartment. Just open it. Mm-hmm. We ended up, to make a long story short, the first day, 150 people showed up. And after that, we were doing an average of 300 people. Then it was 700 people. We did 120,000 COVID tests during the pandemic.
That's amazing.
And we did not care if you have money or not. Everybody got seen. Mm-hmm. And we didn't just did a test. We checked your oxygen level. We checked your blood pressure, your temperature. We saw you if you were sick. Mm-hmm. For me, this is the proudest moment of my entire life. Yeah. I was there in the front line. The ambulance will come and pick up patients from our sidewalk.
Wow.
And I did not care. I showed up every day for 2 years. We were open every single day. And God saw my heart. And I proved to God, because he tested me so many times, that I was in this for the mission of providing healthcare for the underserved community. And we ended up making a lot of money from something because the government came and gave the CARE Act. And they ended up paying us $100 per patient when we never thought we were even going to collect that money. So that led me into investing in Yo Digo Nomás $1 million to take Yo Digo Nomás to where it is today.
Wow.
Where we have a talk show where you come in. We have 350,000 people that have watched that shows, those shows that we have 2 years of marching against sexual abuse. thousands of people going into our website and getting information, how to protect their kids, how to heal.
I mean,
it's like I could die today and I could say, I lived a beautiful life.
Yeah, but that's not happening because you have a lot more to
do. I have a lot more to do. So I tell my kids, don't worry. God has, there's so much work. I'm working for him. There's so much work to be done.
And if we haven't mentioned it prior, this is the Forme Medical Group.
Forme Medical Center and Urgent Care, where we've been caring for 8 years for the undocumented population and the underserved community.
And your partner, Gina Capelli.
Gina Capelli, my talking about, you know, the support that you get. I mean, it's you're not doing this alone, by the way. If you think, you know, that you can do this alone, no, this is a team effort. No matter what you're doing, you need supporters right there cheering with you and supporting you and doing the hard work with you.
Exactly. That's amazing. It's an amazing story. And it leads to this path of activism and advocacy. Has this made an impact on family and inspire friends and motivated them to support more or inspire to take up the mantle for their own causes?
Yes. Yes. I was talking to my nieces the other day, and my nieces have kids. They've been at the march. And I'll lead into the last, you know, the conversation, but I think this is a good place to talk about this because they inspire me, those children, so much. It's the second year that they show up at the march. Mm-hmm. And after the march, we went to the family got together at my son's house, and the kids, I'm sitting with my brothers and I'm sitting on a lawn chair, and the kids came, Tia, they're like, we have a show, and my grandkids were part of the show. We have a show for you. And they started chanting all of the, you know, chanting that we did on the march.
Right.
My body, my choice, yo digo no más. And I started to cry. I was like, wow, the impact on these kids. And they come and they hug me. And I said, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm crying. And one of them that's older, she's 9 years old, she said to me, no, don't thank us. Thank you for protecting us.
Mm. Oof. Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
And I see the impact that this is having on my family already. It's helping my family heal.
Right.
And I call my nieces and I said, you know, I want the kids to be the voice because we're going to do a campaign where we are going to be asking people to help us to donate to protect the innocence of the children. And my nieces' kids will be on the videos.
Nice.
Because they want to. They want to support. But I have seen many of my friends and family members also looking deep inside for their purpose. And many of them are taking the leap of faith, including like my own children. My son, Franco, is definitely somebody that I know you should interview him, obviously. I'm going to tell you that he is a version, I call it a male version of me. Mm-hmm. A kid that I know his purpose is to impact as well. And I know that I have inspired him to start doing that as well.
And what direction of that he's taking to basically be a carbon copy of you? So what is his?
Well, when it comes to business, you know, entrepreneur to the T, definitely an entrepreneur. But he loves helping men become better husbands and fathers. And he went through this healing as a husband that has led him into a 14-year marriage that is on fire. And as a father, what he's been able to implement, these children are so blessed to have my son as their father, because the dedication and the way that he's programming his children in a way of healing, that he has gone through, because he's had to do a lot of healing. And part of it was healing that from the damage that I caused from my trauma.
Right.
And it's beautiful to see his dedication to helping men. And he has his own group. And we were actually today, ironically, talking about doing things together. And we will be for parents.
What is the name of his organization?
So he has his own company, but right now he's just, you know, he did something. It used to be, it is still Forge Legend. And in a group of women, it's Awaken Athena. Right now he's evolving into what he wants to do because he's been focused on his businesses.
Right.
So, but today, as a matter of fact, we had the conversation of leading his mission. And I know that my son's life will be a life of impacting the world.
It's amazing. I would love to talk to him about
that. Yeah, I will connect you with him for sure.
After a second year of a successful awareness campaign with no end in sight, what is in the crosshairs for you and your Yo Digo No Mas mission?
So I like to have every state be walking at the same time against sexual abuse, taking a stand and having thousands, millions of people standing against sexual abuse, breaking the silence, joining together and saying no more.
Right.
That's so for next year, I want to have the march in the city. So I'm working on bringing the march to the city as well. That's, I mean, you've been there.
Yeah.
The power of doing this, walking against the sexual abuse of our children.
Yeah.
It's the, you're giving such a strong voice, and we need to unite this voice to be able to make the impact. And I tell people, you know, people talk about what are the different impact that Yo Digo No Mas wants to have in the world. And Yo Digo No Mas movement, one of the biggest campaign is breaking the silence campaign.
Right.
It's helping people to break the silence, because if we don't break the silence, we continue feeding the pandemic of sexual abuse. You give strength to the pandemic by being silent. And the more we talk about this, we're taking the power away.
Right.
Because now people are becoming more aware. People are saying, well, this is not going to happen to my children. Like, I'm going to have the conversation with my children.
Right.
And then educating, preventing, bringing a curriculum to the school district, creating books to teach parents how to be able to speak with their children at different stages of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That is critical. And ultimately, there is a lot of healing that needs to happen. So with Yo Digo No Mas, there is going to be healing centers. In my time, before I leave, I will have, you know, with the movement will have, because this is not me. You know,
right.
You get used to saying I because I'm leading it, but it's not me. It's the movement that will not stop.
Exactly.
And the movement will have healing centers. Ultimately, that's the goal of Yo Digo No Mas.
Being CEO of Forme Medical Center, do you compartmentalize your career and your passion of Yo Digo No Mas? Can there be a delineating line between that to make sure that you don't muddy the waters, in a sense?
So I have an ability, and I'm very, very blessed that I've been able to develop this ability. I am focused on my medical center, and when I go there, I'm able to say, okay, I'm going to spend these hours on the medical center, and that's my dedication, because this feeds the movement.
Right.
So I have to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm able to balance that, you know, in it, it's, I'm sure that it hasn't been perfect all along, because that would be crazy for me to tell you that, oh no, I've always compartmentalized it. No, there's a harmony that I have learned to create between Yo Digo No Mas and Forme. And there might be weeks where I am more leaning towards the harmony of Yo Digo No Mas, and then I have to make it up the following week.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been allowed to be able to do this because I have an amazing business partner that supports my movement. So we sometimes do things together. I mean, Gina has been a major supporter, has helped me raise the most money for Yo Digo Nomás. And we would support Yo Digo Nomás in Formé and vice versa, because many of the people that I get to know through talking about the movement, they're people that might need health, you know, care.
Right.
And people that don't have insurance. So I'm able to help them in this. I think it's been a beautiful marriage, a beautiful harmony between the movement and the Formé Medical Center. But I've also been very clear that in order for me to support the movement, Formé has to be successful. Mm-hmm. So that focus, I don't take the eye. How do they say that you don't take the eye of
your
the storm?
Of the ball.
Yes. So.
And it shows that you can, through effort, have a balance of the important things in your life, especially when it's career and passion.
Yeah.
Because that's something that I've been training myself to do, and it's very...
Harmony.
Yes.
Not balance. Harmony. Mm. And I'll tell you why. Because balance, that means that everything is in balance, right?
Right.
It's the harmony. That you're okay when you're not taking care of the family because you are supporting the business. But then you're not going to stay too long, right? In not creating the harmony back to your family. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's the harmony of bringing the energy in a way that you're not destroying. And sometimes, like my own family, you know, like, I'm focusing a lot of harmony into my grandkids right now because I want them to remember me. And I felt that for a while there, I was so busy that I really didn't make them a priority. I was off harmony.
Right.
But I now created a harmony where I, like even today, I said to my son, I said, I need to make plans for next few weeks for the kids to come over. Because I'm very focused on creating the harmony. So I'm always curious in a non-judgmental way. I'm not judging myself because, oh my God, what a bad grandmother. I'm not available. Or what a bad mother I am. No, I know that I'm a good human being trying to do the best that I can because I've gotten to a place where I love me. I love me and I want people to reach that point. And I'm blessed enough that I'm 58 years old and I could say, I love who I am. No matter what I'm facing, I love who I am. Mm-hmm. And that gives me the focus on action because I'm not wasting so much energy in trying to be guilty and trying to be hurtful to myself.
Right.
That's why people say to me, how could you have so much focus? Like you have so much going on because I don't really have much negative to deal with. Mm. So the focus is on action and there's so much freedom.
There's so many people who can get lost in that negativity because they feel that they can fix that. And sometimes that's not the route to go.
No, it's a process,
right,
Oscar, you know, of loving yourself. But that ultimately the main focus in life has to be you.
Yeah.
It has to be you so that you can then pour you into the world, into your family, into your friends. And that's, I've reached that goal and I protect it. That's why I say I protect my energy. I don't surround myself in negative energy. Mm-hmm. I embrace it. If it's coming my way, I recognize it and then I move on from the negative energy.
And that's something everyone should take in.
Yeah.
How important is it to gain the backing of your passion from individuals to corporations to reach the general public for those with their own passions that want to make a mark around the world?
Oh, I love going to colleges, so I've gotten to, invited to speak at different colleges, and ultimately the biggest accomplishment that I feel as a speaker was going to Westchester Community College, where I graduated from, and they asked me to be the commencement speaker at the 75th graduation. to me, it was a moment where I was like, wow, I have all these students and they were me. They are me when I was their age. And I get to be able to give them some of my wisdom. I love sharing my wisdom, and especially with the younger generation. And Mercy College, I've been there so many times speaking, because they also have a very high percentage. I think it's like 48% of the students are Latino. So to me, I am on a mission to really impact the Latino community, because boy, we need it.
Yeah.
We need inspiration. We need to be empowered. And to me, that is huge. I wanted to help people understand. And every time I go and speak, there is a workshop that I'm going to start doing. It's called Human Being versus Human Doing.
Mm. Interesting.
Human being means we act like robots. And we don't stop to being a human. Mm-hmm. And to learn to be able to focus on how am I taking care of my being? Mm-hmm. And if you focus on your being and really curious, being curious, I go back to curiosity and start doing those daily deposits. Mm-hmm. That for me are critical, that cumulatively, it gets you to a place where you can understand yourself more. So it's really ultimately, how much do you understand yourself?
Right.
How much do you love yourself? Then doing becomes fun. Doing becomes a way of living, but you're doing it with joy in your life.
Right.
And that's, to me, if I can teach that, because I'm the example, because this is not faking. I don't fake. You see it in the book.
Yeah.
It is authenticity. Being authentic, God, it's so hard to find.
Right.
Because we are doing, we're human doing, we're not human being.
And do you, taking what you said, is that also how you roll into these nature walks that you did the first one and you're mm-hmm. doing them throughout the summer and the fall? And how does that incorporate into it? And tell us about that.
Yeah. So the hike, you know, I said, how can we accomplish two things at the same time for the movement? For me, connecting with nature is a gift that is guaranteed that we have every single day. You open your eyes and you're connected to nature. The nature is right there giving it to you. The beauty, the creation. I remember going camping with my son, Franco, and the family. And I was like, wow, these faithful trees. Like, they're faithful. If you look at nature, it's like there's so much unity. Mm-hmm. There's so much faithfulness. And for me, connecting with a hike and connecting with people, we had our first one and it was so beautiful, so beautiful.
Right.
I made it a point that I would go and walk with every person that was there and to learn something, because I'm curious about everybody's book, because mm-hmm. everybody has, and I like to listen to the audible book from the author. And I do this. So we are connecting with nature. We are, and everybody that was there was like, wow, when they were done, they're like, oh my God, they feel so relaxed. Mm-hmm. And then we get to unite as human and be able to raise funds for a mission that should. This is a mission that everyone should get involved, because it affects all of us, whether you think it or not. Sexual abuse of children is something that exists in every family, and you are affected directly or indirectly.
Right. And how would someone go about signing up for the hike?
They go into our website, yodigonomas.com, and they go into the link for the hike. We have a landing page there. They can register Eventbrite. It's also Yo Digo Nomás has an event, right? And they can go there and register. And we're going to Saturday. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, to Rockefeller State Park. It's in Tarrytown. And right. we're going to be hiking and we're going to get to see the Hudson River. It's like, it's so amazing. So please join us.
For everyone in support of your movement, what final thoughts and possible words of wisdom you can share at this point in this amazing journey so far, along with all the other words of wisdom that you've already given?
I go back to something that I said from the beginning, what you think, what you speak, you create. And that statement is something that we need to take to heart. So the words that you are, the thoughts that you're having, be curious how you can change them if they're destructive thoughts for you, because you're thinking it and you will speak it and you will take action with those thoughts. So the power of our words, whether it's for you or someone else, is beyond our understanding.
Right.
Because there is, I believe, in the quantum field. There's a quantum field. What you are asking of the quantum field, in the quantum field, was created by God. So if you don't believe in God, just believe in the quantum field. For me, God created everything. So the quantum field is the field that exists. So that energy that you're sending, the quantum field is so faithful that it sends you exactly what you're thinking, what you're speaking, and it creates it for you. So if you think of that, for me, I am very clear. I am here to make an impact in the world. I will impact millions of people before I leave.
Right.
The quantum field is giving me, it's opening all the doors. Mm-hmm. So, and lastly, I have to say, there's a trick that I do every day, because life is hard, like you said before. It's painful. I've went through last year one of the most painful years of my life. And I embraced the pain, but I make sure that that pain did not take the hope and the peace that I feel in my heart and in my soul. And one exercise that I did, and I do faithfully, is I have a journal that's called Today's Magic. And I write, it could be 2 to 3 things. Some days it could be 10. But I make sure that I find the magic on the day. Every single day. No matter how hard it is. And believe me, that you might say, well, Maria doesn't understand because I'm going through this. Boy, I don't talk about that chapter, which I will, from last year, because it involves somebody and I want to respect their privacy.
Right.
But for me, by far, the second hardest year of my life. And you see me here.
Right.
And you saw me because I'm in social media. And if you listen to my podcast, I go through the experience. It's not like I'm hiding. In my podcast, in my reflection,
right.
you listen to last year and you would see. I took breaks and I talk about it. You know, it was too hard to come back and all of that. So you see this journey. My team actually says, they love it because they see where I'm at.
Yeah.
So it's the hope that is something that we don't want to lose ever. So having a Today's Magic journal is a simple, effective way to see the magic of every day.
That's amazing. And on that note, where can people... I don't even see you. Where can people experience you? Where do you want to route the people to know, and what do you have that's already existing? And just let people know where they can feel your shine, basically.
Yeah. They can get contagious. They can get infected with the virus of hope and peace. I have my book, obviously. I highly recommend that book because It's when I did it, the intention really was to pour my soul and give you the good, the bad, and the ugly, and help you understand that we all have good, bad, and ugly.
Yes.
It's like I said, you know, before, we want to empower the good. So I take you through the journey of me getting to the space where my bad is minimal, because I'm always curious to make sure it doesn't come out, you know, that I have it in control.
Right.
And we all have to. We all have to. So the other is the podcast that I talk about in Spotify. It's Maria Trusa. And it's just me sharing the reflections of 4, 5, 10 minutes, the most. And it's just me sharing, because I figure I did my book to age 55.
Right.
And pretty much I've been recording my little podcast in Spanish and English. I do every podcast in both language.
Right.
It's documenting my reflections so that people can learn and relate to, because somebody's listening and they're like, oh my God, I was feeling that. And I can understand, and I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Just even knowing that you're not alone, that somebody like me, that they look and they say, oh, Maria has it all. Yeah, I have it all. I have an incredible life, but I still struggle with all of the struggles that we all do struggle as human. So my podcast, my social media, I am growing it again, because as you know, Facebook, Instagram, they blocked me from the mission, but they didn't stop me. So I now have Maria underscore Trusa in Instagram, and I still have a fan page in Facebook. And I've been building a LinkedIn, a community that love the authenticity, though you can get to see it there. And there's a lot more that I have planned. So there's a lot more speaking engagements. I'm working on some amazing projects of bringing the wisdom to you virtually. I'm going to leave the suspense, but there is so much more coming out that I'm working on for 2024.
Nice. Thank you very much, Maria, for being my guest and for the second season of FYI, I Am Damaged. If you know someone who would like to share their strengths from their life through their traumas, through their experiences, by all means, please reach out to FYIIamdamaged@gmail.com. You can reach me through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or through my FYIIamdamaged on Instagram. Please hit me up if you feel like you have something to give to be a guest. Thank you very much. And this is Oscar Lunar, FYI, I Am Damaged.
This is Maria Trusa. FYI, I Am Damaged.
Thank you, everyone. Take care.